On Manage Your Money God's Way, our show is going to be about Thanksgiving. No, we're not going to share recipes, but we will share advice on being thankful for all the gifts that God has given you. And what goes with Thanksgiving besides turkey? Shopping. So how do you stay in control and not go into or deeper into debt? Shopping advice from frugal people. That's Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern and Sunday evenings at 5 Eastern on Redbox Media. Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministry. Our goal is to help you not only get out of debt, but to remain debt-free. Think about it. Living a debt-free life. Now, you can't say, well, that's not for me. Learn more how we can help by going to CompassCatholic.org. Browse around the website. We have a lot of great tools free for you to take advantage of. But take a look at one of our Bible studies. Click on the word Bible studies. The first Bible study that pops up is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. It's a 9-week small group study. You can take a look at the individual topics that we deal with over those 9 weeks. And if you like what you see, fill out the contact form and we'll get in touch with you really quick. In the studio, we have the co-founders of the ministry, John and Evelyn Bean. And today I thought we'd share with the audience our goal of helping you get out of debt. And today is kind of twofold. Part one is all about staying in control this time of the year. Yeah, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And with Thanksgiving is Black Friday. And you know how some of us kind of go off the wall and out of control when it comes to spending for the holidays. So, Evelyn, how about you lead us into today's discussion?
It's Thanksgiving, time to give thanks for all the good things in America, like spacious skies, amber waves of grain, purple mountain majesties, and brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
God, I don't want to break out into a song.
It does sound like a song, doesn't it? What's the last line of the song?
Confirm thy soul in self-control.
And here we are, a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, and there's not much self-control about the upcoming shopping season. You know, even before the Thanksgiving dinner's made anymore, all the Christmas shopping rush has started. Yep. I mean, we were in a store, 2 weeks ago or something, and the Christmas trees are out, and the decorations are out, and all the Christmas stuff is ready to be sold. It's going to be gone before December 1st.
Black Friday starts in some locations actually on Thanksgiving Day.
Actually, I think this year it starts in some locations before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, that could be. They're trying to get your buck quick.
So Black Friday marks the beginning of 6 weeks of a general lack of self-control. So that confirm thy soul and self-control goes right down the drain when Black Friday sales start.
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons why they call that Black Friday.
I thought it was because we were being bad to people and spending money we don't have. Is that not the reason?
Actually, I think it has more to do with the color of your ink, red or black.
You mean for the businesses?
For the businesses. And so if they have a Black Friday, they have made money. If they have a red Friday, they're in the hole. They've lost money.
So this is the time of the year when scales tip for the businesses and they actually start making money over to the course of the year.
That sounds a little facetious, but I think there's a lot of truth to it.
So the thing that's good for the retailers that puts them in the black is the same thing that puts families in the red.
You mean just because I spent all my money, I'm going to be in the red?
Yeah. Too often, experiences like Black Friday encourage us to buy based on pressure from society, and we fall prey to debt and the whole consumer economy of America.
Man's worldly economy.
There you go.
You know, even today, you know, we're overrun with advertisements, and we're pushed into unbridled consumerism. I like that term, unbridled consumerism. Spending frenzies, consumption is at its highest point during the year, probably, for most people. And the result of that is one of those nasty four-letter words.
D-E-B-T.
That's correct.
This time of year, we're constantly besieged to buy this or buy that in order to be successful, happy, fulfilled. We must buy our children everything they see that they want at this time of year. And it's really not a good way to get ready for the holiday season.
If you are answering the call of the culture, you're getting all caught up in the busyness of the season, And it puts us in a position where a lot of people just go frantic. You know, there's just so much busyness going on, and it's like everything kind of closes in on us. We're hurrying to go somewhere, but we really have nowhere to go.
It's just busyness for the sake of busyness.
Yeah, yeah. We're busy, but we're not productive. There is no sense of peace and calm in anticipation of one of the most glorious seasons of the year, Advent.
Well, the difference is our culture doesn't recognize Advent, even though we recognize it in our church year, because it's all about the buying aspects of Christmas and not the spiritual arrival of the infant Christ child.
It's strange. We miss the miracle as we are, in fact, preparing to celebrate it.
Well, it's become a secular holiday, not a religious holiday, as it was originally conceived.
Actually, I think it hasn't even become a secular holiday, because they've taken all of Christ out of Christmas, out of Advent. You can't sing Christmas carols in the schools. You can't pray in the schools. You can't have a nativity scene in public places. It's all this, you can't. And there's nothing left. Happy holidays. Boy, that rings beautifully, doesn't it? You know, what are you going to do? You have to put it in yourself.
The Christ part of Christmas.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If we don't buy the latest fad things for our kids,
people think they're going to be forever harmed.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is sure to have one of those wonderful things under the Christmas tree, so our kids must too.
Yeah. What I want for Christmas this year is a hoverboard.
Seriously?
Oh, it burns up. I'm sorry.
What about one of those new cell phones? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they burn up, too.
You know, buying presents for Christmas, it's not necessarily bad in spite of all the jokes we make about it. Taking advantage of sales is actually a good thing, but like all good things, a little bit of moderation is the key to success. Moderation works wonders. And, you know, you can buy a couple of presents, but that should be sufficient. I mean, you don't need to have an extended SUV in order to get all the presents home.
But there are some people who feel that it's really not Christmas unless under the tree is so packed with packages. I don't know why some people feel that you have to have
an overabundance.
Yeah, it's like every little space under that tree filled with something wrapped.
I think they've been totally warped by our worldly culture that says more is better. The one with the most toys in the end wins.
Right.
You know, that kind of mentality, which is just so far away from a stewardship mentality.
Well, the one that always gets me is the big bow on top of the brand new car that's sitting in the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
You two guys, probably, what would happen to you if you bought a new car and your wife didn't know about it?
I'd be knocking on the door. Can you take it? I'd be like Joseph, but without Mary.
You know, and Mary would have called ahead and said, there's no room at the inn.
But you know what's funny about that commercial? Ever since we've been seeing that for years and years and years, for some reason, when I drive around on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I've yet to see a car with a bow in the driveway.
Well, you're just driving around in the poor neighborhoods, that's all. Kind of neighborhoods where we all live. No, but maybe we're warped in the opposite direction, but all this consumerism and over-the-top spending and getting into debt for Christmas really doesn't talk about faithfully living our call to be stewards of all the blessings God's given us, which is really the true measure of success, not how many presents we have under the tree, or if a husband can buy us diamond rings, or if a wife can buy you a brand new car with a big shiny red bow on top of it.
Yeah, and you know, so if everything belongs to God, then we must do our best to manage it well, to be trustworthy stewards.
And so many people don't think that anything that we do with money and possessions has eternal implications. But the verse from Mark really speaks to this. It says from Mark 8:36, "What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?"
You think about that verse, and then you think about people who you know, they have to raise the tree up on top of a table because they got so many presents under it, it won't fit if the tree is on the floor. And there's just this great big huge disconnect.
There is.
And how do you do it? You know, it doesn't matter what kind of material items we possess, how many Christmas presents we buy, you know, how much money we spend.
Or save.
Or even save. Eternity is what we should be, you know, looking towards, striving for. That's what's really important.
But the pressure from our culture just keeps us from realizing that or living in a way that honors the fact that God is the owner of everything. Because we are responsible for our success. It's our money. We can spend it the way we want to. So nothing in our culture encourages us to live that way.
And what we found out was that doesn't work.
That's right.
And unfortunately, there's an awful lot of people out there in our world today. They might be your next door neighbor or the person across the street or in the next neighbor. They don't get that. In fact, the people who get it are so far separated from most of the others that, you know, it's like, what's wrong with you people?
John, I remember years ago when we were first exposed to what true stewardship meant and we started living in a way that was different than a lot of our peers were living, we were considered oddballs because we would actually say to people, we can't afford to do that or we don't have the money to participate in that. And we were very honest about the fact that we were changing our lifestyle to be more focused on what God said about how to manage money rather than what society told us on how we should live and spend.
Evelyn, I hate to break it to you, but there's a lot of people out there who could still consider us to be oddballs.
Well, that's but we're hanging around with more people that understand what stewardship is now, and that's a blessing because they encourage us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I prefer to be known as fiscally conservative. Well, the bottom line is your spending has to be kept in check. Contentment. Remember that word, contentment. Today we're discussing all that goes on this time of the year. Yeah, it is Thanksgiving, a time to spend with family, but it's also a time where a large segment of the population will be overextending that credit card. Now, after the break, we're going to share some ideas that hopefully will help you stay in control of the desire to buy too much. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry. When I say we, I refer to the co-founders of the ministry, John and Evelyn Bean, who join me in the studio today. And we are discussing a phenomenon that happens every year at this time. It's called Black Friday. You know where I'm going, don't you? The urge to spend, spend, spend. And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we show you through Scripture just how God would love us to handle money. In fact, in our Bible study, one of the first items that we discuss is the fact that God owns everything, a concept for me that was very tough to wrap my arms around. And did you realize that in the Bible there are 2,500 verses that deal specifically with money? So, John, let's start out this segment with a verse. You know, the pressure from our culture keeps us from realizing that God does own everything. And Scripture tells us that the Lord owns everything, right?
Look at Deuteronomy 10:14. It says, to the Lord belong even the highest heavens. The earth is also His, and everything on it.
So if God owns everything, and we put our material possessions and our finances in their proper perspective, it gives us the ability to appreciate the beauty and meaning of the Advent season. So let's redefine the term Black Friday. So let's use it as a metaphor for the journey of our Advent preparations.
Okay, you mean like as in black is the absence of light?
Yes, because during Advent, we await the birth of the light of the world, right?
Yes.
So we're in darkness, right?
Yes.
And based on everything that's happened this year, we are living in a world that seems very black because the light has not yet arrived.
Yeah, the light has not arrived, that's for sure. You know, but, you know, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, we're reminded that the light is within us. so it doesn't have to come from outside. For all you are children of the light and children of the day, we are not of the night or of darkness. So it's all from within.
So we need to find ways to shine the light into the darkness of our consumer culture, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So some ideas for doing that, John?
Well, you know, one of the things that people could think about as their day goes on is Proverbs 21:13. It says, "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself also call and not be heard."
You know, so many times I think the middle class kids in our world don't understand how poor the rest of the world is. And anything we can do to help expose them at an age-appropriate way to the people who have less than we have and who need more, so much more than we can give them, is very appropriate to do at this time of year.
Yeah, I think that I agree with that, Evelyn. You know, you can give your children or your nieces or nephews or grandchildren or godchildren, you know, a list of adult-approved charities and a dollar amount that they could donate to, or, you know, there's a huge opportunity to go out during that week of Thanksgiving and maybe provide a meal for a family or work at an appropriate kitchen-type atmosphere where you're going to feed the hungry or the poor or something like that. I think there's a lot of opportunities if you just kind of search them out a little bit.
And I think that's a good idea to expose kids to that. The unfortunate part of that is that the volunteers seem to come out of the woodwork at Christmas and Thanksgiving and not the rest of the year.
Yes, that's true.
So I'd like a way to find ways to do it the rest of the year, too.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I thought the same thing. During the holidays, everybody wants to all of a sudden become a volunteer.
Yeah.
But starting the children early and doing what you said, John, search it out, especially on the Internet. I think of Haiti came to mind.
Yes.
Where you can talk to the children. You can show them pictures of what it's like in Haiti. Mm-hmm. You can't experience by going there, but constantly telling them stories, showing them pictures and images, and then finding organizations that their purpose is to help the people of Haiti on what they can do, what the child can do to help.
And you were talking about adult-approved charities. If you give the children a list and they're old enough to do so, they can investigate the charities and find one that really hits their heart button.
Yeah, yeah.
And that may be the start of a lifelong passion for that particular ministry.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And it would be good for them to also, at the same time, be taught how to pray for wisdom and discernment in their decision-making about which charity to contribute to.
I guess that would teach them how to see that there's a lot of people out there in the world that are less fortunate than they are and might hopefully encourage them to be good givers, I guess, generous givers.
Yeah, and the important thing is that you have to plan ahead now so that it becomes part of your Advent journey and an activity that you can share with the kids. It's not going to happen overnight, so you know, a few weeks before Advent starts, and this would be a good time to start that process. Another way to bring some light into Advent is to consciously simplify the Christmas rush and bring an end to buying endless presents for friends and long-lost relatives and other people that you have to give to. Most of the time, the recipients will probably be as relieved as you are to do away with endless, unnecessary gift giving.
I think that's a great idea, and I think you're right on the fact. I think gift giving for friends of friends of friends and cousins of cousins and all that kind of stuff. It just wears me out. I gave up on that stuff a long time ago, but I think that's a great thing to do, like you said, I think people will be relieved. You know, we could go to Acts chapter 8, verse 20, where Peter said, "May your money perish with you, because you thought that you could buy the gift of God with money. And, you know, I think that goes a long ways towards putting all of the Advent rush and the Black Friday rush and all that kind of stuff into perspective. Do we really think that we can buy the gift of God with money?
No, we don't. And no amount of money, if you're talking about the real world, can buy us friendship and love either from
That's
people
true.
Around us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's a good time of year to think about finding ways to enjoy each other's company instead of buying more stuff that nobody enjoys or uses. And Steve, this is part of our friendship. I'm so glad that we are with a group of friends where nobody buys anybody gifts.
Right, there are no expectations.
Yeah, I mean, we can call on each other in the middle of the night if we need anything. We love each other. We spend lots of time together. Mm-hmm. But nobody expects everybody in the group to give gifts to everybody else in the group. It's just kind of an unwritten rule, I guess. So it's a much more benign form of friendship.
But it has to start within the family, because you know how many families that have extended families and they feel obligated that they have to buy all the nieces and all the cousins
mm-hmm.
gifts.
And that gets expensive. And if
it gets extremely expensive.
Yeah, if you can't afford it,
because I think deep down inside, they rather not, but they feel obligated because they're about to get a gift.
Yeah, if you can set the ground rules early on, then everybody will feel a sense
of relief. Yeah, early on would be months and months and months.
Yeah,
or weeks and weeks. I mean,
yeah, even weeks and weeks is probably not too late, because people put this stuff off until the last minute.
But I worry about the people that do their shop. There are some smart people who shop during the course of the year for Christmas.
So I think we should think about Advent as a time when we anticipate the light and wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
You know, Black Friday is just one more day in a continuum to experience the darkness lifting as we get nearer and nearer to the joy of Jesus' birth. It's not about going out and shopping and spending money and standing in endless lines and pushing and shoving people to get to the latest, greatest tech toy. It's about waiting for the birth of Christ.
You know, Advent season can be just this humongous, hectic rush into what's supposed to be one perfect day. Or it can be a time to spread the light into an ever-darkening world. Worldly wealth is important only if it's used for eternal purposes.
So that brings up the verse from Luke 16:11. If, therefore, you have not been faithful in the use of worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true riches?
So instead of going out and getting involved in all these hectic buying sprees, we should be prayerfully and consciously waiting for the arrival of the baby in the manger.
So this year, the first Sunday of Advent, I think this probably happens most of the time, is the first Sunday after Black Friday. And our frenzied buying spree collides with our Advent preparation to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who was born in a manger, worked as a carpenter, walked everywhere he went, focused on the plight of the poor and the lame, and was crucified for his beliefs.
Walked everywhere he went. Tell that to a 16-year-old. What would a modern-day Jesus think about all the frenzy that accompanies, you know, this 6 weeks of the celebration of his birth and the debt that is created because of all of our overindulgence? After all, what does that Black Friday shopping spree have to do with a baby in a manger?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So as you prepare yourself for Thanksgiving and then Advent just 3 days later, meditate on these verses from Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. Put yourself in God's light and glorify in His peace. And you, child, will be called Prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, to guide our feet into the path of peace.
Coming up after the break, we're going to take you through how to be grateful for all the gifts that God has given you. This is Thanksgiving, right? This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry, and you're listening to us on Redbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministry. And in the studio, John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry. And wow. Hard to believe we're coming up on Thanksgiving in, what, about 2 weeks? Where has the year gone? Well, for the next 30 minutes, we want to discuss the importance of being thankful for the gifts that God has given you. And the fact that it doesn't happen once a year around a Thanksgiving table. Your thankfulness is 365. But first, I have to ask both of you a question. And Evelyn, I'm going to start with you. What's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal?
The white meat with the stuffing and the gravy.
Ah, stuffing, yes.
Yeah.
I love the stuffing. My mother's stuffing.
Yes.
Just don't say anything to my wife. But I love my mother's stuffing.
Does she not make the same stuffing as your mother?
Yeah, she does. It's not the same, Evelyn. My mother would get up at the crack of dawn with snow up. No.
And walk both ways uphill to the kitchen.
Yes, go out and grab a turkey and
chop his head off.
Well, I didn't say that.
John?
Well, that's an easy one for me.
What is it?
Leftovers.
So you don't like the Thanksgiving meal, you just like the meal after the meal.
It's just a part of the process to get to the leftovers.
That's the warm-up act?
That's the warm-up act, yeah.
What's your favorite?
Anything that goes on the plate. Turkey leg, actually. I love turkey legs.
Turkey legs?
Yeah,
okay.
I love that.
You know, Thanksgiving is really one of my favorite times of the year, and it doesn't have anything to do with the turkey or the stuffing or mom's recipes, because it's an opportunity to focus on being thankful to the Lord for all the blessings that we've been given.
You know, all of us face challenges, financial challenges, health challenges, relationship challenges. I mean, the list can go on and on and on and on. But, you know, it's really important if you can take a step back and reflect on the goodness of God in your life. Yes, God has indeed given us a wonderful world, and we have so much to be thankful for. God has showered us with His gifts, beginning with, not the least of which, is our gift of life.
And that's something so fundamental that we overlook it so often because we just take it for granted. Sure, we're going to wake up the next morning and sure, life's going to go on, and that doesn't always happen. So today we want to plant some seeds about how to celebrate Thanksgiving Day in a way that's meaningful. So we're talking about it a week or so early this year, so you have time to plan some ways into your holiday to really focus on the blessings that God has given you.
That's a good idea, to plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
Because normally you're at dinner and somebody says, so Steve, what are you thankful for?
And you haven't even had time to thought, or nobody brings it up.
Right, exactly. I love that idea. Plan ahead.
Everybody hurries through the blessing, and it's past the potatoes. Did you know that Thanksgiving is a national holiday in the U.S., and it's celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November? So that's kind of some of the background for it. And it finds its roots in religious and cultural traditions, even though it's now a government-sanctioned national holiday.
They want to get in on all the good stuff, you know.
Well, that's a good way to get a day off, right? Thursday, Friday, Thanksgiving. If it wasn't a government holiday, we'd have to work those days. But the interesting thing is that many other countries also designate a specific day of a year where they give thanks. Now,
yes,
it's not the same as the day we celebrate in the U.S.,
right?
But there is a day of thanks in many other countries around the world.
I've experienced that, but I can't begin to tell you even what one of those days might be.
I think the only one I can think of is Canadian one is sometime in October.
Yeah, Thanksgiving in Canada is always the second Monday in October.
The other interesting thing is that almost all religions of the world have ceremonies of thanks to God, and many of these are focused around the harvest season, so it naturally comes at this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere.
And it would be in our springtime in the Southern Hemisphere, which would be their fall season.
Yep.
So Thanksgiving was traditionally thought to have originated in the year 1621 in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's pretty hard to trace Thanksgiving to that specific event, Nobody took a video of it. There were no selfies taken. And
no Facebook posts.
No Facebook posts. So, you know, we can't be certain of anything that is happening, that happened back then. You know, I would like to choose to believe that the origin of giving thanks to God comes from deep within our human heart. And it's a natural response to a loving and a gracious God.
You know, we live in a country now where some people would like to remove every connection between God and country. But I find it reassuring to look back and see that our early American leaders clearly saw God as the source of our bounty, and they wanted to thank him for that bounty.
Yeah, you know, on November the 26th of 1789 was the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in the United States. George Washington actually spoke of that day as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer.
Ah, thanksgiving and prayer. From the president, no less.
To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God.
Sadly, today in Washington, D.C., the whole Thanksgiving Day tradition seems to be more about pardoning a turkey than thanking God.
Yeah, so but the wrong turkey gets pardoned. You
know? That was a good one. That was good. But we have kind of gotten off track with the
Absolutely.
Meaning and reason for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. On this day of thanks, there's a song that brings a little bit of joy to my heart and depicts how I feel. And I can remember hearing it from, you know, even when I was a small child.
A wee lad.
And actually, it seems that I could do that, but it wasn't even recorded until later on. But,
when you were no longer a wee lad.
Yeah, I wasn't quite wee.
So what song is that?
Louis Armstrong did it. It was called What a Wonderful World.
Aww.
And his recording of this song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1999. The song was written by Bob Thiel and David Weiss. And to me, the lyrics depict many of the things that we have to be thankful for.
So are you going to sing for us?
I definitely won't sing, but I think the words are good. You know, I see the trees of green, the red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. The colors of the rainbow so pretty in the sky are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands and saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The beauty in that song is just the fact that it's about such simple things. And usually we miss those simple things like the green grass or the roses or the blue skies. It's so easy to pass that stuff by because it just becomes part of the background of our everyday busyness.
Oh, yeah, that's it exactly. We're in such a rush to get somewhere that's going to take us to somewhere else, which will take us to somewhere else. And eventually we're right back where we started from and, you know, nothing's happened yet.
So we need to find ways to slow down every day and appreciate the little things.
Yeah. You know, today, as on all days, or on Thanksgiving Day, as on all days, people are suffering through illnesses, pains of all types, grief due to the death of loved ones and friends. You know, these are part and parcel of the human condition. I'm sure that you'll agree that if we could just take a moment and wipe away the tears, we might be able to see through our pain that there is still so much more to give thanks to God for.
You know, Psalm 30, verses 12 to 13 really speak to this. It reads, "You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, so that my glory may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks."
You know, we can also read about thanks in Psalms 9, verses 2 and 3. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous deeds. I will delight and rejoice in you. I will sing hymns to your name, Most High.
So it's good to be thankful not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of the year. And that's something that so often we forget. We just take it for granted, and we don't either thank God at the end of the day or ask God to bless our day at the beginning of the day.
We don't typically thank God in our prayers. How many communal prayers have you heard where people start out, thank you, God, for a beautiful day. Thank you, God, for the bountiful harvest that we have. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us.
Thank you that I have a roof over my head, that I have food to eat, that I have clothes to wear,
exactly.
I have a place to sleep.
Yes, exactly. That's not part of our normal nomenclature. It's not part of our mindset to for people to think of being thankful. It's assumed that we are entitled to those kinds of things. And as a result, because we're entitled, we don't have to give thanks. But the fact is, we're not entitled.
We're not entitled to anything.
Exactly. And so it's important to change our mindset and our mind speak.
And thank God for everything every day.
Yep.
I can tell you from personal experience, it's just a wonderful habit to get into, thanking God for the gifts that he gave you today. Now, in the beginning, I had a hard time remembering, so I would write down little things. It doesn't have to be big, big things. The littlest things, too, to be thankful for. And sometimes I would share these with the family at dinner, or maybe on my way home from work, I'd say a little prayer and thank him for what he's done for me at work today. And then there were times I would wait till the very end of the day. No matter what you do, this is one habit that you need to get into, and that's being thankful for the gifts that he gave you today. Now, when we get back, we're going to share some of the emails that we received when we asked our listeners if they would share what they're thankful for. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministry, and this is Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. Learn more how we can help you not only get out of debt, but to remain debt-free. The website, compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of the ministry, join me today. And with Thanksgiving, just what, 2 weeks away? One tradition that's going to take place at many, many tables will be the sharing of everything that you're thankful for. But the question I have, Evelyn, do you only do that one day a year?
So during this time of Thanksgiving, it's easy for us to spend a day being grateful and fulfilled, but how grateful are we the other 364 or 365 in leap year days of the year for everything that God has given to us? Owen Phelps, who is the director of the Yeshua Catholic International Leadership Institute, suggests that one of the ways to be more grateful is to use what he calls a gratitude journal.
If you take time each day and each week to write down the things for which you are grateful, you can focus on those things that often escape notice, but really are so important in your life. Being consciously grateful helps you to discover what you might take for granted otherwise, you know, your job, your freedom, the birds, the very air that you breathe. You know, the list of things that we take for granted can go on and on and on.
Yet each of these things, no matter how important or how mundane, is a gift from God for which we need to be thankful. Another great way to bring gratitude into your everyday life is to have each person at the dinner table announce three things that happened that day for which they are grateful. If you're in a family with young children, this can range from the amusing, such as, I'm really grateful that I didn't have to sit next to a girl on the bus today,
I say that often.
You're not on a bus every day. To a really profound insight from a young child, such as, I am grateful I got to see Grandma today because she's getting old.
Now, this is something you do every day, not just Thanksgiving dinner.
That's correct.
This is,
this is a way to be grateful throughout the year.
Love that.
You know, and I can remember, especially, I'm grateful I got to see Grandma today. When I see that, I think about our youngest grandson, who wanted to see great grandma.
Oh yeah.
And his comment to you, Evelyn, was, "I want to see great grandma before she dies."
Yeah. And he was only like 4 at the time.
Yeah. The short end of a long story would be that he got to go and because great grandma lives in a different city in a different state, he got to go and visit great grandma. And he was just so impatient waiting for her to wake up from her afternoon nap. When she opened the door and came out of the bedroom, he was just in his glory.
You know, it's like he saw Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or something. He was so excited. He was just quivering.
And, you know, that was quite a trip for him because he also was told you on the way to the airport to come home.
Yeah, that was weird. We were driving from Grandma's house to the airport, and he said, you know, we should have stopped at the cemetery because there were some people there I needed to talk to. And that was astounding. I didn't even know you knew what a cemetery was.
It's still astounding.
No, I know.
He's an old soul.
Well, but, you know, I think that's a sense of gratitude, though, of understanding
life is fleeting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, to come out of a 4-year-old's mouth and brain when most people like me wouldn't even think of something like that.
Yeah.
I've probably never thought of that in my whole life. This creating this attitude of thankfulness, and especially like you say, around the table with the kids, is, I think it's such a great thing. It can get a little tough at times, but...
Well, it does away with the entitlement attitude. If children are taught how to be consciously grateful, it does away with a lot of the I deserve, it's all about me, I want attitude that we see from so many children and adults today.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good lesson because most of the kids today will tell you everything they don't have.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because and they're comparing to other people.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that idea.
But, you know, as we talk about that, I would really be encouraged if you could send us a little story. Just go on the website and do the contact us and send us how you personally express gratitude during your day or, you know, whenever you do that. But also, how do you do it as a family? I would love to hear that, and I'd love to be able to share that with other listeners and with the people who visit our website. This is part of creating a counterweight or a counterbalance to that entitlement. And if we can share that and share the ideas that you have, that would be just a terrific thing.
And if you don't want to go to the website, the email can be sent to info@compasscatholic.org.
Yeah, and we should tell them that the website is compasscatholic.org.
There you go.
Whether or not there are children in the family, the gratefulness discussion at meals can provide, you know, a lot of fodder for discussions and will allow you to keep gratitude at the forefront of your mind.
And bedtime, if you're saying prayers with your children at night or even doing your own prayers, bedtime is a great time where each of us can spend a few moments to reflect on our day and say a prayer of thanksgiving about the things we experienced during our waking hours. You know, we're showered with so many blessings from God each and every minute of every day and night that it's right to acknowledge those blessings.
So this year, instead of on November 24th being the one day of Thanksgiving, make it the first day of a year's worth of Thanksgiving. And, you know, if you can do that for a year, guess what? You've formed a habit.
If you do 30 days, you formed habit.
Yeah, but if you do it for a year, I guarantee you, you've got a habit there, and that's something that you'll be able to carry forward for the rest of your life. And I think that's a good habit to have. There's a lot of habits that I wouldn't say that about. But I think that's a good one.
And that brings to mind the verse from 2 Corinthians, which is chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for all his indescribable gifts.
Yep.
Evelyn and John, I know last month in our newsletter you had asked the listeners to send us some things that they're thankful for. How about if we share some of those?
Here's a thank you email we got from one of our listeners whose name is John. I was granted a higher paying employment position, which allowed me to pay cash for my master's degree in theology. Just as I was nearing completion, I was laid off, and I had just enough notice of the layoff to save for the final two semesters of my theology degree.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah. Yep. We have a couple more here.
And these are emails that you receive from people that want to share.
That's right. We ask them in the newsletter to share what they're thankful for. Here's one from Belinda. I have so much to be thankful for each and every day, but to start each day in faith is my greatest joy. Through my faith, I believe that my God and Father is in control, even of the trials, and I will be strengthened each and every time. I didn't appreciate this gift of faith when I was younger, but now I know it is my driving force. We hope that everybody has faith as their driving force.
Here's another one from Anna Marie, who says, I'm grateful for my Catholic faith and family, which I was born to, for my parents, my siblings' families, and my ancestors, my Catholic schools and university where I studied, and the classmates I met in school, my husband and his family, my ex-boyfriends and their families for whom I learned about relationships, our current finances, for whom the Lord has continuously blessed us, the ability to give assistance to those in need, the property where we live, the gifts and talents God has blessed me and my husband with, and the lives that God has given me and my husband, among the many things he has blessed us.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's one from a couple that took the Compass Navigating Your Finances God's Way class many, many years ago. And they say, we are thankful for God's Word as taught in Compass. Today we have a home that is paid for, meaning no mortgage, and because of that we have the freedom to help others financially. This year we helped our neighbor, an elderly widow who needed a new air conditioning unit. We helped our daughter who had a wedding day that was paid for with cash. A path forward into our retirement that our financial advisor says looks secure, and we can make generous donations to a medical care facility for the homeless. But most of all, we have contentment with the home, friends, and family that we have today. There's that word contentment.
Yeah, that's such a strong and important thing.
And we have one last one here. This is from Nana. Nana says, I am thankful for the love I feel from family and living under the grace brought to me by Jesus Christ. This week, I am especially thankful for my health and the ability to rearrange furniture, since it seems my carpet cleaning company doesn't do that. I am so grateful for my church families. They fill so much of my lonely days.
Hmm.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
At this time of Thanksgiving, we are grateful to God for all the people who sent us what they're thankful for. We're grateful for a ministry that helps us serve people and teach them how to be better stewards of God's blessing. And to all the listeners who listen to us on the radio, read our blogs, and experience the Compass Bible studies, we offer our heartfelt thanks.
And we wish that each and every one of you can have a happy and blessed day as we offer thanks together for our God. And we just want to say, as a Compass family,
happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. You know, when I mentioned newsletter a few minutes ago, someone sent an email and said, what newsletter? Well, if you go to compasscatholic.org, look in the upper right-hand corner by John and Evelyn's picture, you can sign up absolutely free. It's a monthly newsletter. We have monthly money management tips, scripture inspiration. We'll update you on what's been happening in our ministry. Again, it's compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you join us again next week for Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic.
Catholic Ministry on Redbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Redbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at redboxmedia.com. Redbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.